Produced by PI Media.
Hi and welcome to CP Radio. I'm Ran Levy. Let's face it, hacking can be a profitable business. Most script kiddies will be stopped or caught before they can pull off anything meaningful. But for those big cyber criminal groups like Lazarus, Reveal, and DarkSide, we're talking about a multi-million dollar a year industry. Historically, there are certain industries that hackers tend to target the most for one reason or another. Supply chain companies, for example, and, as during the COVID-19 pandemic, hospitals. But there's one industry in particular which trumps them all. One industry which, if you're trying to make money in cybercrime, may be both the easiest mark and the most profitable.
Some hackers target supply chains because you can reach a lot of targets by defeating just one. Some hackers attack hospitals because hospitals can't afford the downtime. Why do hackers like targeting blockchain?
Because blockchain is a new technology. And because the crypto is not really regulated anywhere in the world.
Roman Zaykin, security researcher at Checkpoint.
So if the attacker, for example, will steal your money from your bank account, you will go to your bank. If the attacker will encrypt the hospital or something, they have the security team in the hospital. But if the attacker will find a vulnerability in your account or steal your cryptocurrency, it's not regulated who you will call, where you will go.
Can I also respond to that?
Dikla Barda, also a security researcher from Checkpoint.
It's much more easier to find vulnerabilities in the blockchain world than the other internet world, the Web2 world. And the second reason is that in the blockchain, it's easy to be anonymous.
In the last episode of CP Radio, we presented a dichotomy, an apparent contradiction in blockchain security. On one hand, blockchains themselves are some of the most secure digital entities in the world. They're cryptographically hardened to such an extent that certain kinds of attacks, like double spending or manipulating networks for personal gain, are not just difficult, but effectively impossible if the platform is coded right. And yet, people keep losing millions of dollars on blockchain platforms. Investors losing thousands, crypto companies losing millions, even hundreds of millions, is an all too common occurrence. The reason largely comes down to one key distinction.
The blockchain technology itself is really secure, but what is not secure is the smart contract. It's basically the code that runs on the blockchain.
A well-designed blockchain can be hardened to just about any cyber attack you can imagine. The Bitcoin network, for example, has never been hacked, not once. But hackers steal Bitcoin all the time from the programs that run on it and the people that use it. Picture it as different layers of technology stacked on top of one another. At the lowest layer is the blockchain. A network which, if organized correctly, can be cryptographically secured to such a degree that malicious behavior becomes a near mathematical impossibility. On top of this layer are exchanges where people trade cryptocurrencies or NFTs or video games that utilize them or any other kind of product or service that interacts with the underlying blockchain. These are software programs like any other, written most often in a language called Solidity.
Basically, it's a new language. There is a lot of problems with the language. And some of the problems they are trying to solve in newer version of Solidity, but it's not that old that all the problems are solved. So most of the problems, most of the secure bugs you will see on the smart contract itself and not on the blockchain.
So even if blockchains are some of the most secure technologies in the world, the people and businesses that use blockchains can be totally vulnerable due to even simple software vulnerabilities. To demonstrate, let's talk about one of the most popular blockchain businesses in the world. The subject of our story today is OpenSea. OpenSea is the world's best known marketplace for non-fungible tokens, or NFTs for short. It's not one of those crypto scams. We're talking about a regular business running a solid website, employing intelligent people. And yet, earlier this fall?
At OpenSea, we saw at Twitter that many crypto users started to complain that all of their NFTs are stolen.
Like @_JeffNicholas_, who wrote in part, quote, "Guys, I just got hacked bad. They wiped my ledger. Impersonators on the OpenSea wiped 4.5 ETH and all of my apes and cats."
So when we dived in and wanted to understand how that happened, why the NFT were stolen.
Normally, in cases like this, we're talking about a phishing attack. Cryptocurrency and NFT investigators face phishing attempts constantly, probably more than any other industry, because of how few safeguards there are to prevent attackers from taking over blockchain accounts and stealing all of the money held inside. In fact, just months before the event we're talking about now, a different attacker phished 12.5 OpenSea NFT investors, stealing a total of $1.7 billion worth of digital assets. In this case, however,
we found out that they received somehow an airdrop of NFTs.
So an airdrop is basically when you get to your wallet the NFT without buying it, without doing any interaction with it. You simply see that your account has a new NFT. On OpenSea, you open the OpenSea on your account and you see you have an NFT, a new NFT that you didn't buy before. This is an airdrop.
It's like a gift.
It's like a dropping from the sky to your OpenSea account, okay?
Yeah.
This is why they're called airdrop.
If you're unfamiliar with the crypto space, maybe this sounds like a scam. Some airdrops definitely are scams, but many are not.
If you have a new project and you want people to interact with it in order for you to enlarge your community, so you offer airdrops.
Imagine you developed an NFT art project like Bored Ape Yacht Club or CryptoPunks. You've got thousands of images and you want them to become popular. To draw attention, you might choose to airdrop a piece of art to every user of OpenSea. Some OpenSea users may like what you send them and choose to buy more or promote your project. The point here is, blockchain investors are used to finding new little surprises in their accounts every so often. It's not uncommon, not so suspicious, usually. But this fall on OpenSea,
the victims somehow received free NFTs, and those NFTs were able to hijack and hack the other NFTs in the victim accounts.
Roman and Dikla began to investigate.
First of all, we tried to find as much tweets as we can about the issue. So we wanted to see how victim received the airdrop, to maybe get a picture of the airdrop or get any information we can about the airdrop. After we see that all the airdrops came from OpenSea platform, so we started to look in our accounts if we received any airdrops, but somehow we didn't get any. And then we tried to look on how the airdrop actually works. So in OpenSea, you can upload any art you want, any NFT you want. The NFT can be an image, it can be an audio file and a video file, any art, any NFT. And after you upload the NFT, we saw that actually you can send it to anyone. So we thought that we should try to create maybe a malicious NFT.
An NFT which was actually malware. As if regular NFTs weren't already bad enough.
Somehow, at the beginning, we didn't know how to do that. But we just played with the platform, we checked the functionality, and we started to upload an NFT. At the upload functionality in OpenSea, we saw that you can upload various types of files. One of them, which is more malicious than others, is actually an SVG file. SVG file is basically an image, but that image is created by using code, by using HTML code.
Think about it like JPEG or PNG files, but with more functionality and flexibility.
By using HTML code, you can draw your image. They did that maybe to create some more complex graphic for your NFT if you want to. But if you can write code, the code can do other stuff, not just graphic things. So we tried to create an SVG file that will contain HTML code that will try to communicate with the victim wallet, with your wallet somehow, and try to ask the victim to transfer all his NFTs to us. So basically, we were able to create an NFT with JavaScript code.
To be clear, the researchers created an NFT, what would appear to you like a regular image, but contained with that image data, like some invisible Da Vinci Code style secret, was extra malicious code.
The code actually communicated with the wallet, with MetaMask wallet, which is a browser wallet, and asked the victim to transfer all his NFTs to us. Then we just created another account. We airdropped that NFT to our other account.
By dropping NFT into their test account, they triggered that invisible malicious HTML.
We were able to steal all the NFTs in that account.
Isn't it extreme that because of just one wayward NFT, you could lose everything in your account in just an instant? There's actually a good reason for that.
If a hacker, let's say, takes over my bank account or credit card account, theoretically, there are certain ways that my bank or credit card issuer can detect anomalous behavior before it's too late, so that, you know, for example, somebody couldn't just withdraw $100,000 from my account in one quick swoop. So explain to me why OpenSea and other Web3 apps don't work that way.
So it works a little differently than a real world bank account.
Yeah, nobody can stay in the middle and somehow deny transaction. This is actually the benefits of the blockchain.
It may not sound like a benefit of the blockchain. In fact, it sounds like a definite drawback that you can't stop a hacker from stealing $100,000 from your account all at once. But in fact, that's a conscious choice made intentionally by blockchain developers and has been part of the ethos of the community dating all the way back to the inception of Bitcoin, the first cryptocurrency.
Because in a real bank, in regular bank, you have someone that can decide to ask you many questions if you want to move money around, why and where and when. And maybe they will not allow you to move the money around.
Or there's a sanction of your money, if, for example, like happening in Russia. Now in Russia, they have sanction on their bank accounts and they even can't withdraw their own balance.
Also, there are some people that can't open a bank account. So they will use a blockchain in order to move money around. They also will take a lot of fees on every operation you do. And the blockchain, it works differently. You are the owner of the money. You can do with it whatever you want. You can move money around in a few seconds in the bank. If you want to transfer money to other country, sometimes it will take a few days, and you need the money now.
It's access, it's fees, it's speed, but much more than anything, it's about having full, unfettered control over your own assets. In the world of crypto, personal autonomy is valued over everything.
You have full ownership of your wallet and no one have access to it. Only you decide what to do with the money. Only you decide what to do with the actions on your wallet. So there is no one that can stand in the middle and interrupt or intercept those requests.
But in this event, when something malicious happened, it's actually a drawback, because in the bank, they have their intelligence systems that actually can see that something suspicious happening and they can block the transaction. But in blockchain, nobody will stop me to transfer my money. I can transfer my money anywhere and to anyone. So if something malicious will happen in blockchain, nobody will be able to help me.
NFT investors, at least in theory, would rather have the complete and unfettered ability to do whatever they want even if it means greater risk from attackers, then give up any of that power to large institutions, which may otherwise be able to help them out in a pinch.
So if something malicious will happen, it's actually a big drawback. But if you don't want anyone to mess with your bank account, it's a benefit.
People want to be the owner of their money. Don't want people to say to them what they need to do with their money. And I think it's not scaring them, this NFT attack. They just need to be more careful about what they click.
To summarize, we created an NFT out of thin air, magically dropped it from the sky into an OpenSea account, and used it to access and steal the other NFTs in that account. And there's little OpenSea itself can do, because unlike real-world exchanges and banks, they have no power to stop a user, malicious or otherwise, from doing whatever they wish. It's a clever, nearly unstoppable attack. Nearly. There's a catch, you see, an Achilles heel. One step in the entire chain, which, if the user is smart enough, unravels the entire plot.
In crypto, the code is actually can't hack your account without you interacting with the code. When the hack started and when somebody will hack your account, the pop-up in your wallet will ask you to sign something. And if you're familiar with OpenSea, when you transfer NFTs, accept NFTs, or do anything with NFTs, you have to sign the transaction. You have to accept it.
If the receiver doesn't accept the NFT into their account, the entire hack is a bust. Maybe you're thinking, why would anyone ever accept a random airdrop that could very well be a scam?
So in OpenSea platform, basically any interaction with NFT, like even if you like the image, you have a pop-up from your wallet in order for you to sign this like, okay? Everything you do in OpenSea, you will get a pop-up from your wallet. So it's not something that it's a stranger to you. It's not something you have to sign just when you're moving money around. You have to click on OpenSea on everything you do.
Right.
So this is also what gave us the impression that people don't know what they're doing and they're clicking on anything they see popping up on OpenSea.
Kind of like how you hit agree anytime you're presented with a product's terms of service. You're so used to them by now. You never actually read those contracts, even though one day one of them may possess some clause you don't actually agree with. There's also a more obvious reason why users blindly accept random NFTs. They may be worth something one day.
Basically, if you got something free, like airdrop, you want this airdrop to be in your account, and so people will more likely to click on the pop-up from their wallet.
Sometimes, in fact, airdrops are insanely valuable. Back in 2020, a cryptocurrency exchange called Uniswap created their own new token, airdropping it to anyone who'd previously used their platform. It was a way to get their token in circulation while also rewarding loyal users. The platform sent 400 UNI tokens to every account holder, and the market priced this new token somewhere between $2 and $4, depending on when you checked. That meant that, without warning, Uniswap users suddenly found themselves $1,000 or so richer than they were just a few days before. Many cashed on this free money, and some held on as the token rose to an even higher value due to all the buzz. In a culture where that kind of thing is possible, is it any wonder that OpenSea users would accept their free presents from the sky?
So we recommend two things. Basically, don't click, be careful of what you click on when you have pop-ups on your wallet. So before you approve the request, you should carefully review that and see what the pop-up means. And the second thing that I recommend is that you will have to use few wallets. And basically, if you want to interact with something you are not sure of, use the wallet you are not have all your NFTs or all of your funds there. use a demo wallet or a test wallet so you can see how it will behave.
Today, OpenSea users should be a little bit safer than before. Since the reporting of this research, the company has patched the vulnerability that allowed Roman and Dikla to create their malicious NFT. But there will be some other yet undiscovered vulnerability down the line. A colorful free airdrop just waiting for you, baiting you to click. Will it be the next $1 million cartoon ape? Or just a quick way to lose all your investments before you even know? That's it for this episode. Thank you for listening. All of our past episodes are at research.checkpoint.com, and you can also find us on Twitter. Follow Checkpoint Research or me at Ran Levy. That's R-A-N-L-E-V-I. The Checkpoint Research podcast is produced by PI Media. Written by Nate Nilsson. Production and sound design by Abigail Rogan. See you next episode. Bye-bye.